The Old Testament reading for this, the third Sunday in Advent, comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 35th chapter. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you.
Righteous and happy salvation.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The epistle reading, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes from the letter of St. James, the 5th chapter. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the reading of the Gospel. And the Holy Gospel comes to us according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many days is it until Christmas?
10!
I told them to do that. So. They know that, though. They know how many days until Christmas, and we all do, because Christmas is kind of a big deal for us. We're counting down the days, we're opening doors on Advent calendars, we're watching each store remind us just how many shopping days we have left. We're getting everything in place, we're preparing for parties, getting ready for Christmas Day. It just can't get here quickly enough. We're looking forward to the presents, to the celebration, to gathering together to remember that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to us in the flesh. Christmas is a big deal. And as we get deeper into this season of Advent, the weeks that are leading up to Christmas, it gets harder and harder and harder to wait. But just as I say to my children, God says to us, be patient. Be patient. Advent is a season of patience. Preparation to celebrate Christmas, but not celebrating it just yet. So often we want to rush into things and just say, well, Christmas is here because the decorations are up and the stores told us so. But that's not what Advent is. Even as we celebrate Christ's gifts during this season, there is restraint in our joy. We omit the shouts of Alleluia, the glorious Gloria in Excelsis in our liturgy. The readings that lead up to Christmas are the readings not of Christmas. They are things that foretold Christmas, things that were about Christmas. But we are not reading the Christmas readings yet. Slowly, we light one candle a week on the Advent wreath, not lighting them all at once and saying, come on, if we light them now, it can be Christmas right here. And let's face it, that can be agonizing. We don't want to wait. We don't want to be patient. We want Christmas and we want it now. Because we're bad at waiting. We're bad at being patient. We are bad at biding our time and putting anything off. We're used to instant gratification and we think that should apply here as well. The tree is up, let's get on with it and get into Christmas. But you see, Advent is more than just preparation for Christmas. Advent is also a season of preparation for when Jesus returns once again. We look forward not just to that time long ago when he came to us in humility and meekness as a babe, but also when he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And here too, it takes patience and restraint. Here too, we have to wait for that day to come. We can't just rush into it and say, let the end be here now. And unlike Christmas, we can't set a countdown timer for this one. Nobody knows when Christ's return will be. And that makes it even harder. Because we can't say, all right, only 3 more months and then Jesus will come and this will all be over and we can be in heaven. We don't know when his glorious return will be. Because that's agonizing. It hurts for us to sit and wait, especially when we don't know when that waiting will be done. We want Christ to return, and we want it now. We want to be done with all this sorrow and filth and pain of the world. We want to be in God's glorious kingdom right now, gathered together with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, and receive that gracious reward of our hard-fought faith. We want it now. But God, in his wisdom and his mercy and his love, he tells us, be patient. When you look around at the world, when you see how bad things are, when you see how very opposed to God's word this world truly is. Have you ever asked yourself, why are we still here? Why hasn't God come? Why hasn't Jesus returned in glory and put an end to all of this garbage? Well, the fact of the matter is, every day that he does not return is a day of grace. Every day that he holds off his triumphant return and the end of this world is another day for unbelievers to hear his word and to believe it. Another day for one of his wayward children to be brought to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every day that Jesus does not return, it might be agonizing for us to wait, but it's another day of opportunity for us to share our faith with others, to reach out to that person that we've been putting it off for so long and tell them the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ alone that they so desperately need to hear. And besides, even if Jesus doesn't return for another year or 5 years or 1,000 years, it'll be but the blink of an eye compared to the eternal glory of heaven that awaits us. Any suffering that we may be asked to endure here, it won't even be a memory in that glorious eternity that God has given to us. You know, one of the hardest parts of Christmas is that after all that waiting, after all that preparation and all that patience, it's all over so quickly. The stockings are emptied, the gifts are open, the church service is over, and Christmas is done before we even know it. But not so with heaven. The joy of heaven, it never ends. The eternal wedding feast of the Lamb, it is never over. And we will never, ever, ever be disappointed with that paradise and think to ourselves, is that it? By the grace of God, we wait patiently for his gift of heaven, knowing that it will indeed come to us. And how can we know that? In a world of so much uncertainty and doubt and so many different opinions out there, how can we know that heaven will be ours? Well, we know it because God is faithful. God himself has given us his word, and he will keep that word in his time. We sinners, we're impatient. We want things to happen quickly. We want it now. And when things don't happen immediately, we doubt and we question if God's really going to keep his promises in our lives. But despite all of our sin and our doubt, God assures us over and over and over, through his words, through his gracious actions, that he is indeed faithful to keep his promises. You know, think about our gospel reading today. John the Baptist, the great prophet, who, as Jesus says, if you are willing to accept it, is the Elijah to come, the steadfast, bold proclaimer of God's word, is now in prison, and he's having his doubts. He's in prison for proclaiming God's word. He's not seen this utopia that he thought we were promised, and things just didn't seem to be happening as quickly as he would have liked. And so what does he do? Well, he actually does the right thing. He goes to Jesus for reassurance. He returns to the source of those promises. From prison, he sends his disciples to Jesus to get some answers. And they ask him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Are you truly the promised Messiah? Are you the fulfillment that we have been waiting so long for? Or do we need to wait even longer? And how does Jesus respond? Well, he doesn't actually give him a perfectly straight answer that John probably would have liked. He doesn't slap John and tell the disciples, go back and give him a punch and say, how dare you even doubt me, you fool? No. He points to God's words and God's actions. He says, the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. He goes back to the promises that God's faithful people have known for centuries and says, look around you and see what's happening. This is what Jesus was doing, and this is what God had foretold he would do. He says, everything is happening according to plan. My plan, not yours. Jesus was walking the path of our salvation, just as it had been foretold for generations. No, it didn't involve lots of fancy theatrics and big shows. There were plenty of people in the world who had no clue who Jesus was or that he was even there. It didn't involve the overthrow of the government that a lot of people had been hoping for. What it involved was pain and suffering, torment and mockery, crucifixion and death and patience. And from that foretold death of Jesus Christ, our salvation sprung forth. God promised that he would send the Messiah, and he did just that. God promised that the Messiah would suffer and die in our place, and he did just that. And God promised that the Messiah would rise again from the grave to open the gates of heaven for all believers, and he did just that. Every promise made by God was fulfilled, even when it seemed impossible, even when it seemed like nothing at all was actually happening. God promised to take away our sins, and he has, just as he said he would. And that's why we can actually be patient as we await Jesus' final return. Through patient, faithful endurance, we know for a fact, we know that Jesus will come again in judgment of this world. And for those who weren't expecting him, those who deny him and reject him, those who cling to their sin and say, this is what I love far more than your word, you silly God, it will be a day of terror like no other, as they are cast down into eternal hell. But for those of us who patiently, faithfully, eagerly await the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know that when he comes again, we will be taken with him to be in heaven, washed clean of all of our sin, not by our own actions or our own goodness, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by that blood, we are proclaimed innocent before his holy throne of judgment. We stand not in terror looking at our sins, but in confidence and joy looking to his cross, his resurrection, his life and death for us. And on that day, all of our waiting, all of our patient anticipation, it's over. Replaced instead with the unimaginable joy of eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven. And so we wait patiently. James, in our epistle reading today, he says it's like a farmer waiting for the harvest. And a few of you know quite a bit about that. A good farmer doesn't plant the seed on Monday, then go dig it up and pry it open on Wednesday, expecting to find bountiful crops and going, why isn't the corn here yet? It takes time. It takes patience. There will be days of worry when it seems that drought might take the crop. There will be days of anticipation, wondering if the seed is actually going to produce as well as promised. But in the end, God willing, with patient endurance, the precious fruit of the earth comes forward. Well, as Christians, we too wait patiently for Christ's return, like the farmer awaiting the harvest. Except that we have not just hope, but certainty. We might experience days of anxiety where we doubt and we wonder. We might fear that that day will never come because we are still sinners and we still doubt and question and things aren't going our way. But our worry, our doubt, it does nothing at all to diminish the steadfast promises of God. Long ago, he promised to come to us in the flesh and save us from our sin, and he fulfilled that promise. He came to us not when we thought he should, not in the way that we thought he should, but when he knew the time to be best and in the way that he knew to be best. And he has promised that he will come again at the end, not according to when we think he should, but according to what he knows to be best. And since God himself has given us that promise, he is faithful to keep it. Of that we can be certain. And so, as our Lord tells us, be patient. Patient to celebrate Christmas as we journey through this repentant season of Advent. And patient to rejoice when our Lord comes again in glory. All things happen according to God's wisdom, not ours. And for that, we are very, very grateful. For every day that He grants us on this earth is another day of grace to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And when that last day comes, which it most certainly will, we who have waited patiently in faith and endurance, we will celebrate like never before. We will rejoice not just for a day, not just for a season, but for all eternity, rejoicing in the perfect paradise of heaven that God Himself has prepared for us, that He has won for us, and that He will return again to take us to. Rejoicing there with unending joy in the eternal, glorious presence of our loving Heavenly Father, here we wait. We know that we will rejoice. We know that heaven is ours. Not because we hustled along and made God bend to our schedules, but because by patient faith, we were made to see the fulfillment of God's steadfast promise to us, that by His cross alone, by His empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.